Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, very happy Monday to you, and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us. If you wanted to look for a cure for our ailing society, maybe the most powerful thing you could do is restore the fullness of fatherhood. And statistic after statistic, study after study shows that social outcomes get precipitously worse when fathers are not showing up to father their children. Fathers are certainly treated as kind of buffoons on television or irrelevant by much of the media. And even men who want to be good fathers, really good fathers, get little information or support. Well, let's talk about fathers today. Give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you have questions about how to be an awesome father, maybe what Scripture teaches us about fathering, 888-318-7884 is that number. Our guest this hour, Dr. Gregory Popcheck, the founder and director of Pastoral Solutions Institute, which provides a nationwide telephone counseling service to help Christians, at CatholicCounselors.com. He's also a psychotherapist and speaker, and he's the author of more than a dozen books. His latest is Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, from Ave Maria Press. Also, he and his wife Lisa host a nationally syndicated radio advice program, More to Life, with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. He's also, I got to add this one because this is brand new to me, the new chair of pastoral studies at, or graduate pastoral studies at Holy Apostles College, Dr. Gregory Popcheck. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
That's a new one, right?
It's a new one to me, too. Yeah, it just started in April, actually. Really excited, rolling out some brand new programs and going to be doing a concentrations in pastoral counseling, spiritual direction, youth and young adult ministry, and marriage and family studies, as well as a few other things coming down the pike.
That is beautiful.
And, yeah, and I'm really excited about it.
It's the pastoral studies is really the practical application of all the stuff you learn in theology class.
That's right. That's right. So if anybody's interested in doing ministry work and really engaging more effectively with the people that they're serving, then our MAPS program's place to go. So there you go.
So Bedatitudes. Bedatitudes,
yes,
8 ways to be an awesome dad. Oh, well, how is this I already know the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask you. Tell me how this is related to the Beatitudes.
Well, you know, Pope Francis has said that the Beatitudes are a blueprint for Christian living. And I was just kind of sort of praying on that because it's true. That wasn't a new thing, but I was just sort of reflecting on those words. And I don't know, something about it just dawned on me that the Beatitudes ought to tell us something about fatherhood as well, and in particular, the fatherhood of God, how God the Father relates to us as His children, and how we Christian men, if we want to be fathers after the Father's own heart, that we ought to model our fatherhood after the kind of parenthood that's described in the Beatitudes, and that's where the Bedatitudes came from. Actually, looking at all 8 Beatitudes through the lens of Christian fatherhood.
Would you say that I was off base or on base saying that if you wanted to restore society, you might start with restoring fatherhood?
You know, there's no question. I mean, and you're absolutely right. You know, social science rarely really proves anything. It's just sort of the limitation of the discipline. But in truth, we come as close to proving anything as we ever can when we say that fathers are an absolutely essential part of the puzzle when it comes to raising healthy kids. And for a father to be absent or to be emotionally distant has a serious dramatic impact on a kid's well-being and development. We don't necessarily understand all of the unique contributions that dads bring to the parenting table, but we do know that there are things that dads can do that moms can't do. In fact, there's some recent research that's starting to show that there really are neurological differences in the way that paternal care stimulates the developing child's brain differently than maternal care stimulates the brain. And so there are going to be, I think, as time goes by, more research that shows the differences between mother and father care are physiological, not just psychological and characterological.
What do you think is discouraging fathers or putting fathers off doing or being there, being present to their children. It does seem to be kind of – I guess if it was a disease, you would say it's an epidemic because it's –
I think it is.
I think 40% of children are now being raised in fatherless homes.
Yeah.
So what's the – maybe – what's the cause? Have fathers lost confidence in their role? Have they – or what's happened?
I mean, my own theory, honestly, is we, generally speaking, don't raise young men to be relational. We don't expect men to find their identity in being fathers and being family. We raise young men to focus on accomplishment, on achievement, on doing. And so men grow up to be human resources instead of human persons. And we are so used to ourselves to being trained that to be a man is to be used that we don't think anything about using others. It's just part of the cultural programming for a lot of men that we don't really see ourselves as essential for family life, not on an emotional level. You know, we get it, we hear the studies, but on an emotional level, I think it's harder for us to connect with that idea that we really matter. Our presence makes a difference. I think but that said, you know, that's not a natural masculine quality, honestly. If a man is raised in a healthy, nurturing, godly home, with a father who is present, with parents who do engage him emotionally, that father is capable of deep empathy, of spiritual leadership, of all the qualities that Christian men are really called to be the kinds of fathers that God wants us to be.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We are talking fatherhood today with the man who should know as both a well-prepared Catholic as far as his theology and also as a clinical psychologist. Is that that's the right way to say it?
Clinical social worker, actually, but yeah, Catholic, pastoral counselor.
Right, and extraordinarily practical, too. I always find that very helpful in your – it's the answers do not come out as some kind of theoretical, pie-in-the-sky thing. It always seems very, very practical to me. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions about fatherhood, if you would like to talk about the Beatitudes, that is, what did Christ himself teach us about fatherhood in the Beatitudes? You start, Greg, with the blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yeah, blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one. You know, well, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? And when you look at the commentaries on that, it really comes down to humility. That willingness to be humble. Now, you know, that word is a tough word for a lot of people because they think it means beating up on ourselves. It means running ourselves down. Humility has the same root word as humus, which any, you know, gardener knows is good dirt, right? It's the dirt that dirt wants to grow up to be. It's fertile ground. And so humility isn't the practice of beating up on ourselves. It's the posture that allows us to be willing to learn from others, to say, you know, I want to share what I have, and I also want to learn from you and what you have to give. Pride, the opposite of humility, says, I will not serve, right, as Satan says. I will not serve. I'm going to keep my gifts to myself, and I don't have anything to learn from you. You have nothing to teach me. But humility has an open heart that says, you know, let me learn. And so the reason that blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit is because, you know, being a dad is on-the-job training. Nobody, even if we're raised well, even if we grow up in a healthy family, no one teaches us how to be the husband to our wife or the father to our children. We have to learn that as we go. And in order to learn that well, we have to have hearts that are open to learning, open to being wrong, open to listening. And that poverty of spirit allows us to adopt that posture first in our relationship with God that says, you know, Lord, you know, not my will. Not even the will from my family of origin, but your will. Help teach me to be the father after your own heart. And then with our wife, we're willing to listen to her and really kind of work with her to figure out what it means to be a partner to her and what she needs from us. And then finally with our children, to really listen to their hearts and be willing to have that poverty of spirit that says, I'm not going to force my agenda on you, kid. I'm going to work with you and with God to identify what is God's plan for your life and help you fulfill that in the most efficient and graceful way.
Dr. Gregory Popcheck is our guest. The book is The Beatitudes. I'm going to probably mess that up a couple more times.
It's a bad dad joke. Beatitudes.
And we will be back with your calls for Dr. Popcheck on fathering and on Jesus' teaching about fathers when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teens spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 6:22, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, the next day the crowds got into boats in search of him. When they arrived on the opposite shore, they asked him when it was that he arrived. He answered that he knew that they were only interested in him because of the loaves he had multiplied. "Do not work for food that perishes," he said, "but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." There is in us mortals a stubborn tendency to limit him to the merely earthly mode. We have even seen this recently in the attempt in some circles to interpret his miracle of the loaves with a purely natural explanation. The scribes and Pharisees continually made this error. When will we accept that it is only when we humbly approach him with gratitude for who he is that the Holy Spirit rushes upon us with an understanding that we cannot put into words? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thank you so much for being with us on this Monday. Be Datitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad is the book we are discussing with Dr. Greg Popchak. Dr. Greg Popchak also is regularly on your radio, well, maybe not your radio, but on nationally syndicated radio with his wife on More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, so you can look
on
that
on everyone's radio, everywhere, all the time.
Is that it? You got to let us squeeze in there for 2 hours a day. Just give us 2 hours. That's all we ask. How about we go to calls, Dr. Popchak?
That sounds great.
Okay, we go to Megan in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on 990 AM. Megan, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Actually, it's just a comment. I just wanted to give a word of encouragement to dads dealing with teen daughters. And brag for a second about my dad. Is that okay?
Yes, please brag away.
Okay. So I am 26 now, but starting at age 10, I dealt with eating disorders and body image issues and all kinds of things. And my dad was essential in keeping me, keeping me alive, to be honest. He was an active listener. He was extremely affectionate, always giving me hugs. And always reassuring me and telling me that I was beautiful. And he didn't have an issue in ever saying that he was scared, about me hurting myself or getting too thin or anything like that. And at the time, I hated him. And like as a teenage daughter, you know, you don't want to know, you want to separate from your family to some extent. And there was a lot of rejection that I gave him. But he never gave up on me, even in my early 20s when I kind of like relapsed into certain things. There were things that I said and did, and he just was always there to the point where one time I ran away and he drove around for 4 hours and found me. Like, so I just wanted to call in and let dads know who are dealing with teenage girls just to not give up on them and to that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
That's beautiful, Megan. Thank you for sharing that. And dads are so critically important, as we were saying in the first segment. I'm glad your dad was there for you and didn't give up on you. And I know that there are a lot of young men and young women who really are touched by your story and who wish that their dads could be there. But it's a reminder to all of us fathers of how important our role really is, and to never doubt that for a single second, and in fact to double down on our efforts to be loving, present fathers, especially when our kids don't seem to want us there or reject our efforts to love them. That can be really hard, and we can shut down and try to turn it into a power struggle where I'm gonna force them to accept me, or I'm gonna force them to accept my rules, or force them to accept my plan for their life, and that of course never works. But being able to be there, be present with them, to love them through it, to walk through it with them, to give the guidance that we can, is so critical. And it sounds like that's what your dad did, and I'm glad you're in a better place, and I'm glad you and your dad are in a good place too now. God bless you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Is that so? Teenage daughters, when she said teenage daughter rejecting her father, I was like, oh, I have two daughters that are in their 20s now. But is that common, or was that just me and her dad?
it's not uncommon. I mean, you know, there's a shift that happens, especially, you know, around junior high school, where there can be a real difficulty making that transition in the discipline style. You know, a lot of us, when our kids are littler, we kind of get by with, don't do this because I said so, you know. And little kids are okay with that. But as soon as they start hitting, you know, late middle school, early junior high, they start pushing back a little bit with that. And a lot of times dads don't know what to do. And so our discipline style has to change at that point, where we're helping them see and really figure things out for themselves, so they can see us as a helper to getting them what they need and what they want out of life in godly and efficient ways, as opposed to the person who's the obstacle, who's telling them, no, you can't do that, and because I said so, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to being able to say, well, tell me what you want. Okay, well, tell me why you want that. You know, how would your life be better or different if you could get that? Yeah. Okay, well, here are, you know, about six other healthier ways you could go about pursuing that instead of the idea you came with me first. Yep. So let's go about that. And if I can take that more dialogue approach to discipline with my junior high and high school kids, you tend to see kids not push back quite so much, because they really see you as a resource. But the more that discipline style kind of stays with that more, hey, you know, I'm laying down the law and you can't do it because I said so, that's where kids start pushing back a lot. I mean, there are other things that get in the way too, but that's the big one.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking dads. The book is Be Daditudes. The author, Greg Popchek, is here with us taking your calls. We go now to Greg in Chicago, Illinois, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Greg, your question for Dr. Popchek.
Hi, Dr. Greg. I'm Dr. Greg, too. I'm a family doctor myself, so I love that you're talking about this topic. It's extremely important. I'm a father of twins, and I'm the youngest of six kids myself, so I had a father who had six children, and I know the importance of fathers. I know it almost in a reverse way from my own personal experience. My father didn't work enough, frankly. He lost a lot of jobs and had a different mindset, and he had six kids, and he didn't feel he had to go to work. So I found myself inspired as a father once I had my twins to go work. And as I view it, I can't. There are not enough hours in the day for me to work to provide for my kids. And I think that's the essence of being a father, number one, is to provide for the house and the family. And I think it's an important thing to talk about how things have changed in society, where men have become somewhat less necessary, certainly in some communities. And the statistic you read off before about 44% of households have children being raised without a father. That is devastating. Well, how is that even financially possible? Without a husband and father, traditionally, there'd be no way for a woman to raise a child. So we have this condition, the welfare state, that pays women to have children illegitimately. And the whole culture in society is one that doesn't say these things the way they used to be. And now we have a culture that celebrates the single mom, denigrates the deadbeat dad.
Greg, we got to move this to question form now. Is there a particular question you have for Dr. Popchek?
My question is, what do you think about what I've just said?
Well, I mean, I think that there's something to what you're saying, but I think that the larger issue here, because the question you have on the board here is, what reasons would I attribute to the decline of fatherhood in modern times? And I think that, you know, your own experience was that your father didn't provide for you financially. And I suspect also emotionally in his way, because when a dad refuses to go to work and provide for his family, he's not just opting out of the financial obligations, he's opting out of being a present father and making it all about him, making family life revolve around him. And I think it's important for dads to remember that there are lots of different ways to be a provider. I think that you're absolutely right that dads need to identify with that role of provider. But it goes beyond being a temporal provider. It starts there, and dads need to be good temporal providers as best they can, using their gifts to provide financially for their families. But I also think that it's very important that fathers provide spiritually and emotionally and to be physically present to their children, so that kids don't feel like they play second fiddle to dad's work. For instance, you know, there was a study that was one of the first studies that's looking at how dad's presence affects developing brains in mammals. This was a rat study, but it's for people who don't understand, you know, studies of mammals, when you talk about lower order mammals like rats and that sort of thing, those studies apply, generally speaking, to human beings as well, because our brains are built similarly. What they found was that a father rat, a dad rat, who was present to the rat pups, stimulated the baby's brain in a different way than the present mother did. Where mom's presence stimulated the rat pup's ability to downregulate stress, to become less stressed in a stressful situation, the presence of the dad rat helped the rat pup's brain downregulate aggression. So the dad's physical presence of being a nurturing, loving, present, you know, rat father would help that rat pup's brain structures manage aggression differently. And that wasn't, you know, dad going out and working. That was dad being physically present and emotionally present. So I'm not denigrating the need for dads to be financial providers. But I am saying that there's another dimension to that providence, that providing role that dads also need to be present for. And that is to be physically and emotionally and spiritually present to our children so that we can help not just them develop psychologically or academically, but neurologically. Our very presence is stimulating their brains in ways that moms can't. That's why, for example, we see an epidemic of young aggressive men who were raised in fatherless homes. And so dads need to understand our role of provider as a multifaceted thing. As, yes, temporal and financial provision, as you were just pointing out, but also that spiritual and emotional provision, which I think a lot of dads really do struggle with, because as I was sharing in the first part of this show, we don't raise our young men to really think that way. We raise men to be human doings, not human beings, to see ourselves in terms of what we perform and what we accomplish and what we earn. That's all fine as far as it goes. I'm not saying there's something wrong with competition. I'm not saying there's something wrong with ambition or setting goals. But that's not where we find ourselves. We find ourselves by making a gift of ourselves to others, not in the money we bring home or the things we accomplish, ultimately.
Dr. Greg, thank you for your call to Dr. Greg. It struck me when you were speaking right there that we've made so many changes to our attitudes about gender and family and you know, the interchangeability of men and women. And it seems to me there's a kind of hubris in that. When you talk about this rat study, for example, that brings down aggression in the male or in the child rat just because of the presence of the father, yeah. We really don't – we have to be more humble about it, don't you think, and just accept the fact that, I mean, that fathers and mothers are not the same creatures? We don't
– No. Well, we tend to define parenting in sort of functional terms. Like we think that, you know, well, anybody can do the tasks of parenting. And, you know, strictly speaking, that's true. You know, mothers and fathers can be really good and attentive, caring, nurturing parents. But, again, from this Catholic perspective, and especially from the perspective of the theology of the body, our bodies are created different. You know, and so, for instance, my wife can nurture our children in ways that I'm physically incapable of nurturing our children, and vice versa. I use this example in the book, you know, where my wife can nurse our children. I ain't never going to learn to lactate. Ain't never going to happen. No matter how much my wife might want me to at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's just not going to, I'm never going to be able to nurse my kids. But I can do things that she can't do, you know? I can toss my kids up in the air and even sometimes catch them because I have better upper body strength than she does. And I have a beard, you know, and I can get up under my kid's chin and I go, you know, and I can tickle them with my beard. And my wife doesn't have a beard, right? Thank God. And so I can use my body in different ways than she can use her body to nurture our kids. But together, when we're both male and female being fully nurturing and fully present to our kids, we're a better example of the full nurturance that God the Father wants to provide for each and every one of us.
Amen to that. I of all the Beatitudes, I wanted to see the one that you dealt with for fathers was, blessed are the meek. So I want to ask you about that real quick when we come back.
Sure.
How is a meek father a helpful father? And I don't like your defeatist attitude on the breastfeeding. I think you should. I think you gave up.
We'll talk
quick.
About that over the break.
Right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
It's been called a crash course in salvation history, the perfect addition to CCD and RCIA reading lists. Catholic Answers' new graphic novel, The Big Picture, has set the Catholic book world on fire with its unique and innovative blend of apologetics and entertainment. With high-quality, full-color illustrations and a storyline that's easy to follow, The Big Picture reveals a story full of passion, suspense, adventure, and hope, engaging the reader immediately. As our heroes come face-to-face with the drama and mystery of God's plan for the salvation of the world. It gets readers talking and thinking, captivating and entertaining them with eternal truths presented in a non-threatening way. Get your friends and family talking about things that matter. Order your copy of The Big Picture today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Author and blogger Shane Kapler says, "The apostasy that wasn't is sure to be one of the best written histories you'll ever encounter." Rod Bennett is an astonishingly talented writer, and he successfully brings to life the most tumultuous period in church history. Order your copy of The Apostasy That Wasn't today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back, and thanks for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live. Our guest, Dr. Gregory Popchak, a noted writer and helper of folks. That's what you do, right? You're a helper of folks.
That's the plan.
I think you do. I have my suspicions that you do, and you're going to have to help me with the website, because I think this is the coolest thing, that it's like counseling for people, Christian people, mm-hmm. facing situations in their life. They want both to have a counselor that could give them some suggestions, and somebody who understands their life as a Christian and wants to come out. So tell me about that a little bit.
Well, it's CatholicCounselors.com is the website for the Pastoral Solutions Institute, and we're an organization that provides provides folks with faithful answers to tough marriage, family, and personal problems. We come at things from a very Catholic perspective. I and my counselors are all licensed mental health professionals, but we all have training in pastoral theology as well. So we bring Catholic spirituality, prayer, and insights into sessions as well. So it's not just that we pray for our clients. We certainly do that. But we integrate Catholic spirituality and Catholic practices into the counseling relationship that we have with our clients, so that folks can benefit both from cutting-edge counseling psychology research and the timeless wisdom of our Catholic faith.
And you're joining us by Skype today, in part. And mm-hmm. is Skype a way that people can do counseling now, or there you can do that?
Yeah, there. I mean, we actually don't use Skype because the platform can sometimes be a little unstable. But there are video teleconferencing technologies that are HIPAA approved. You know, so healthcare. You know, confidentiality laws and all that can be covered through that. So yeah, there are secure video teleconference approaches.
Which is kind of, if you need the help and support of a counselor at a given time in your life, and you're in a place where there's sometimes not someone who's Christian friendly or Catholic friendly or understanding enough to, it's nice to have an option.
Yeah.
In those situations.
Well, and we find that, you know, even because we originally thought that, you know, it would appeal to people who didn't have a Catholic therapist in their area. But, you know, we're getting a lot of folks who say, well, you know, I there is somebody, but I go to church with them, you know, or my kids play with their kids, you know, or even just, you know, we have a hard time finding a sitter to go and go to the therapist once a week. It's embarrassing. And, you know, sometimes the sitter doesn't show up. And so it's just nice to be able to talk to you on the phone. There's that confession behind the screen quality to it as well, because folks call us and they're able to open up a lot more readily than they do in the face-to-face sessions I used to do. So
wish I had known about
that.
It
works a lot of different
levels. My wife and I were doing marriage counseling. I wish I had known about that. blessed are the dads who are meek.
Yes.
That seems kind of counterintuitive.
Well, it does. And as long as you see meekness as weakness, then it doesn't make any sense, right? But meekness isn't about that. In fact, was Father – shoot, I'm sorry. Heaven Starts Now.
Theology of the Body. You got me, Darren.
Father John Ricardo. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Father John Ricardo.
Sorry, I just totally blanked on his name. Yeah. So he was actually talking about this quality of meekness that in the original Greek, the word for meekness has to do with a well-trained war horse, a horse that's ready for battle, who can kind of go into battle but respond to his rider's commands very quickly and efficiently, so that he was trained for battle. And to be a meek father is not a weak father. It's a father who's willing to listen, who's willing to hear the voice of God speaking in his heart, who's willing to hear the needs that his wife and children have and respond to those in effective ways that lead them to God, ultimately. So that meekness isn't about being a milquetoast, not having a spine, just sort of being a doormat and letting everybody walk all over him. It's about being an attentive, attuned father who's aware of what his family needs and is committed to getting those needs met in godly ways.
Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad is the book. We go now to Andrew in Lafayette, Louisiana, listening on 90.5 FM. Andrew, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hey, Doc. So as the father of 6 boys and 1 girl, oldest of 29, youngest is 13, from what I see is the big worst problem, I guess, facing dads and boys is porn. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, it was hard to come by and you had to sneak around to find it. Well, now it's so accessible. Yeah. I submit that it's more uncommon for a boy to come out with that virtue of chastity than it is not. In other words, the challenge is much bigger than it used to be. What's your comment?
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's both for men and women, believe it or not. The research is showing that young women are drawn more and more to pornography and learning how to express their sexuality by having viewed pornography from a very early age as well. So what you're seeing now is even among good, faithful young men who want to remain chaste and save themselves from marriage and want to practice chastity in marriage are having a hard time sometimes because they're being pressured by the faithful Christian women that they're trying to date. They're being pressured for sex, being left by these girls if they won't sleep with them. So we're seeing this as an epidemic that's affecting sexuality of both men and women, and it is a serious problem all the way around. I would say I talk about this, by the way, in the chapter on Blessed are the Dads Who Are Pure of Heart, because we talk about that purity of heart and the need to avoid lust. But it's deeper than that. And I talk about this a lot in my book with my wife, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids. You know, expressing a healthy sexuality is more than just avoiding porn. I mean, it involves that. It starts with cultivating a real sense of love as being that willingness to work for the good of others and to not use other people. St. John Paul the Great talked about how use was the opposite of love, because when you love somebody, you build them up. You turn them into an even stronger, healthier, better person. When you use somebody, you tear them down. You turn them into a thing that I use as a means to an end. And that that quality of lust is rooted in that idea that I can use other people as means to an end. And so as a child's growing up in the home, it's really important to convey that idea of love versus use. You know, we love each other in this home. We don't use each other to get what we want. We don't treat things better than people. We look out for ways that we can take care of each other and build each other up and encourage the best in each other. And by cultivating those qualities, we talk about how to do that a lot in Beyond the Birds and the Bees. We're able to raise both young men and women who are resistant to the pornified culture, not immune, but certainly resistant, and are able to be taught how to avoid both pornography itself and the false lessons it tries to teach our kids.
What do you think of that, Andrew?
Yeah, it's spot on. I guess I need to get the book and read it, huh, to know exactly all the contents there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You said you're raising six boys, Andrew?
I am, yes. I've raised, I'm still raising six, I guess, but three of them are out of the house. One's in seminary and two are married. So,
good for you.
Well, thank you very much for that call, and God bless you in your fatherhood. 888-318-7884 is the number. Our topic, how to be an awesome dad.
And just to kind of build on what Andrew was just saying there, just to recap the resources, I do talk about that topic specifically in the chapter, Blessed Are the Dads Who Are Pure in Spirit. But then also we build on that in Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids. And both of those are available at our website, CatholicCounselors.com.
888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Ron in Steubenville, Ohio, listening on 97.9 FM. Ron, you are on with Dr. Popcheck. What's your question?
Yes, thanks so much, Greg. We have four sons and two daughters in that order, and the guys are in their 20s. The two older ones are married, and the two other younger of the four are still at home. And I guess I could use some advice in terms of, we're at a stage where all of our children were pretty attentive, always we're open to recommendations and so forth, but especially the guys. Now, if mom has in conversation some suggestion, they just sort of proverbially roll their eyes, and then soon hers are tearing up because she's like, she's invested so much into their upbringing, of course, and how to deal with that kind of dynamic, I guess.
Well, and so again, these are all adult, young adult children, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, and that's tough, right? Because on the one hand, I mean, and I have adult kids as well, so I know what it's like. and I've been on the receiving end of that eye roll too, in that place. And it's a different relationship, you know. As I was talking before about how the parenting relationship evolves from, you know, the younger child years to junior high and high school years. Well, there's another switch that kind of has to be thrown when our kids becoming young adults. You know, and the catechism even says that adult children don't owe us, as their parents, obedience. They owe us respect. They owe us that honoring, but not necessarily obedience in terms of doing what we say. And so the best way we can continue to influence our adult children is by, number one, coming alongside them. You know, Pope Francis' favorite word, accompaniment. You know, really being present as much as we can in their lives, as much as they'll let us in their lives, and really kind of being alongside of them and letting those conversations emerge naturally. And the second thing we want to do is the way I like to put it is don't offer to bring the potato salad until you're invited to the picnic. In other words, you know, don't give advice until they ask you for it. You can ask them questions. You can try to lead them to the answers that you're hoping that they'll get or decide on by that Socratic kind of questioning. Well, what do you think about this? Or have you considered that option? Or what would happen if you followed that out to the end? You know, those kinds of things that sort of get them to think through it. But if we come on too strong with our own ideas and our own suggestions, our own thoughts about what they should do, especially in those early adult years, they're really invested in trying to figure things out for themselves. And even if we have a good idea, they're going to push us away. It's not a rejection of us personally. It feels like it is, but it's not. It's they're saying, listen, I want to have a relationship with you, but I need your help figuring it out for myself. So give me basic principles. Give me basic ideas. Give me a structure to be able to think through this, but don't tell me what to do because I have to learn how to do that. And so the better parents can be at making that transition where we're not telling our kids what to do right away, but really guiding them through it and kind of being there with them while they puzzle it out for themselves, that's where that's going to be helpful. And so your wife's got a beautiful heart, and she really wants good things for her adult kids. And I think that she can get there, but she's just going to have to kind of bite her tongue a little bit and start praying to the Blessed Mother, asking her for her guidance, and be willing to kind of walk along with the adult children and support them while they try to figure it out and wrestle with it, giving them that gentle guidance and that the Socratic questions that kind of lead them there instead of just leading with the, why don't you just do this? Because that'll never work with them.
Thank you very much for that call, Ron. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more from Dr. Gregory Popchak on how to be an awesome father right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Spring is here, a time of growth and new life in so many ways. Eastertide, confirmation, and graduation, just to name a few. As your teens and young adults grow and move forward in faith and life, they're going to need a guidebook to help them find their way. Pure Faith, a Handbook of Prayer for Catholic Youth, is that guidebook. A unique prayer guide designed exclusively for teenagers and young adults. It's short enough that a young person will read it, yet it's packed with spiritual wisdom and advice from saints and holy men and women, as well as prayers for a variety of needs, circumstances, and individuals. With this guide in hand, your teen will know how to pray simply and effectively, how to draw closer to God through prayer, and how to use prayer to meet and overcome the challenges he or she faces. Order your copy of Pure Faith today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Father Mike Schmitz will be here with us for the entire hour to talk about reaching out to those inactive Catholics. How do we get those inactive Catholics reconnected to the Lord who loves them, especially in the Eucharist? We'll give that a try next hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. This hour, Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad with Dr. Gregory Popchak. And online right now is Becky in Salt Lake City, Utah, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Becky, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hi, I'm wife to a dad. We have a 2-year-old little boy. And my husband is very strong-willed, very manly, very loving. But he was the only child of his mother, and his dad left when he was little. So he has a lot of fears about being a husband and a father, about being a good one. And I think he's often too strict, and he doesn't read or get engaged with a lot of the parenting things that I try to get him to learn from. So I find myself often jumping in and trying to mediate or get him to change, my husband, to change his behavior, the way he disciplines our son. And I feel like now it's just sort of caused him to shut down. And I don't want that either. And I guess I'm just wondering if you have any advice for us.
Sure. A couple of thoughts that are kind of in the forefront of my head. I mean, there are some people who are listening right now who would say, well, you know, you just need to get out of his way and let him be a dad. And, you know, but the problem with that is that, you know, the approach that you're describing to his discipline, especially with 2-year-olds, it doesn't work. That kind of strict, you know, he can be very loving and very attentive and all that, but that very kind of strict, do what I say is sort of kind of discipline doesn't really work very well, especially with toddlers, because their brains kind of shut down. When the way toddler brains are developed, they shut down in the face of that kind of stress. And so they actually end up doing the exact opposite of what you tell them to do when you use that harsh tone. They kind of need to be in a place where they can be receptive, where their whole brain is turned on instead of just their reactive brain. And they're able to learn to do this instead of that, right? And so discipline that's gentle, that focuses on teaching what to do instead of what they did. So you're kind of catching them being good, but you're also teaching them to do the positive opposite, as the phrase goes. Those approaches are much more effective. And so, you know, as much as he wants to be a good dad and as much as he's afraid of not being a good dad, by taking that harsher approach, he's actually working against his own interests. As far as, you know, how do you help him out? You know, there's some interesting research that talks about how in marriage, generally speaking, women are very good at accepting their husband's influence, but men often struggle to accept the wife's influence. They feel somehow undermined or undercut. And we end up having a chip on our shoulder about that. But really, in the best relationships, husbands and wives, as Ephesians says, defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Christ is the head of our home. And sometimes my wife has a perspective on things that I don't have, because I'm looking at certain things in a certain way. Sometimes I have a perspective on things that my wife doesn't have. And it's good to be able to be receptive to that that wisdom that each of us brings to the table. We were talking earlier on the show about how mothers and fathers bring different gifts to the table, and when mothers and fathers work best when they're both open to the gifts that the other one has. When they aren't, when one spouse isn't open to the gifts that the other spouse has, it's not so much about that issue as it is a struggle with respect. Let me explain what I mean by that. So what I'm saying to you here is that it's not so much a difference in parenting style issue as it is a challenge in the respect in the relationship. What I mean by that is respect. I talk about this in our book, When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Respect is about being able to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things the other person finds true, good, and beautiful. Especially if you don't see it that way, right? So, Becky, you know, if you were saying to me, you know, I like X, and I didn't like X, well, if I respect you as a person, I respect you as my friend, I think you got a good head on your shoulders, I would want to just kind of step back and say, well, you know, X isn't my thing, but, you know, Becky really likes it, so let me try to figure out what she finds so great about that thing. You know, I'm not saying your husband has to agree with you or you have to agree with him, but I think that there needs to be this respect where you're able to have a conversation with him where he's able to say, well, look, I don't see it that way, Becky, but, you know, help me understand this from your perspective because I want to try to understand where you're coming from, and vice versa. That dialogue is breaking down, okay? And instead of engaging in that conversation with you, he's just shutting down and withdrawing, which, by the way, is a reaction of that primitive brain himself. Because, you know, when we flip our lids and we go into that kind of reactive mindset, we can tantrum, we can pout and withdraw, or we can run off at the mouth. And he's kind of pouting and withdrawing. Well, so what I'm saying to you here is that we need to be working on that basic respect. And what I'd like you to say to him is, you know, honey, there are two parts to this. Number one, honey, I love you, and I love that you want to be an involved father. I love all the gifts that you bring to the table here. But we need to be able willing to learn from each other because neither one of us has ever done this before. And so, you know, I don't want you to shut down. I don't want you to withdraw. I want to work together with you on this. If he can't do that, then it's important to seek some professional help to work on the respect, not the difference of opinion, but the fact that you're having a hard time really hearing each other and trying to learn from each other and appreciate the truth and the goodness and the beauty and all the things each other finds true, good, and beautiful, which is the essence of real respect in a marriage relationship. But that's the real core issue. And if you can get some help addressing that, the rest of it will take care of itself.
Becky?
Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
And you know, and this, we do a lot of this kind of work through the Pastoral Solutions Institute as well. So if you're not able to find good, faithful resources locally, you can contact us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll get you hooked up.
Thank you very much, Becky, for that call. We now go to Kristen in Washington, D.C., listening on 1160 AM. Kristen, you are on with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Hi, Doctor. I'm a single mother, and I have two children in elementary school, one boy and one girl. And it breaks my heart to hear all these wonderful benefits of having a great dad in their lives. And fortunately or unfortunately, my ex-husband is not very active with my children. Mm-hmm. So any advice or suggestions on having male role models? I don't feel compelled to go and find a husband, right, just for this purpose. But.
No, good for you. Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say, you know what? Be not afraid. As Pope St. John Paul the Great used to say, be not afraid. And I want to thank you for your courage in really being your boy's mom. It's two boys, is it?
One boy, one girl.
One boy and girl, being your kid's mom. I mean, really, really showing up for them and for making this call today. So, you know, good for you. You know, there are two things. I mean, the secret to a well-behaved kid, okay, regardless of your family structure, is attachment. Attachment means that my kid sees me as the go-to person for helping them get their needs met in good ways. And sometimes that's going to mean setting limits with them, obviously. Sometimes that's going to mean encouraging them. But either way, I want to put myself in the position of, number one, understanding what their needs are, and number two, being that person who really helps them meet those needs in healthy, godly ways. Because, and that's not always going to be the way they want, right? But if they can see that ultimately when they come to me, I help them get where they need to go in a really good way, then that's where attachment grows. And that's how that attachment bond happens. There's a really good book called Hold On to Your Kids by Dr. Gordon Neufeld. And he talks about this idea of a parental bond versus a peer bond. You know, we are also afraid of peer pressure and peer attachments. And when you look at those relationships, you actually find that kids in those strong peer relationships, they're not all that deep. That what happens is that kids, for whatever reason, get alienated from mom and dad, and then they bond to peers, and that's when they start getting in trouble. But to repair that relationship doesn't take as much as you'd think. It takes a parent being really willing to listen to what their kids actually need and then finding ways to help them meet it consistently. Now, that art of listening, you know, takes some practice, takes some good work. But an example would be, you know, let's say your kids come to you and they ask for something really stupid. You know, the natural parent reaction, and I've struggled with this myself, is, you want what? You're out of your mind. That's never going to happen. Get out of here. You know, right? We kind of have that reaction. Well, that's natural enough. But what we want to do is instead step back and say, okay, well, yeah, I'm not sure I'm getting that. Tell me, how you think your life would be better if you did get that? If by some miracle that actually happened, what would be different? And now all of a sudden the truth is going to come out. Then they're going to start saying, well, you know, all the other kids in the school, you know, I would like to fit in with them, or I'd like to be able to have this friend, or I'd like to be able to do to develop this maturity in this way, or whatever. They'll start telling you the real reason. Then you can say, well, you look, I think that's a good thing to want to be able to figure out how to fit in and have good friends or how to test yourself and become more mature. The way you're asking for it, never going to fly. But I can give you 10 other ways to accomplish that. And here, let's work on those things. And then they're going to come alongside you with that. The more you can take that approach to discipline where you're really authoritative, as opposed to being either authoritarian or just sort of lying down like a doormat, the more your kids are going to become attached to you and really listen to what you have to say and follow your example, as opposed to being alienated from it. That's the most important thing you can do, though.
How's that, Kristen?
All right. That's wonderful. Thank you.
God bless you, Kristen. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very, very much. We go now to, we go now to Jeff in Dallas, Texas, listening on EWTN.com. Jeff, you're on with Dr. Greg Popcheck. We're coming right up against the end of the show, so if you could make your question pretty quick.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. Secondly, this is very valuable for me as a sales manager, too, by the way, how to deal with
for sure.
kids. But my real question is how to be a better uncle.
Thank you for making that succinct.
That's great. That's great. You know what? Kids, we need extended family to be involved and to be present. And I, you know, to be able to have, you know, uncles and aunts who are willing to kind of step in and support mom and dad and really be that godly presence in our kids' lives, that's just priceless. And so the best thing you can do is be present as much as you possibly can be and listen. Really be another adult who's willing to really listen to your nieces and nephews hear what their needs really are. Don't ever come between them and their parents, but, you know, be that extra sounding board that can kind of offer them healthy ways to engage their folks if they're having difficult times, or, you know, who can be willing to kind of stand behind them while you're encouraging them to go back to talk to their parents about those things. But if you can be that other source that it's a supportive, godly listener, that's priceless. Jeff, what a great question. Thank you.
Did that help you?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, you were great with that question. You know, I tell I sometimes at the end ask caller to go quickly, and they never do, and then he goes really quickly. So now I got another question for you. So the bedatitudes, you've given us three of them. There's eight of them. I don't want to do all of them because I don't want to give the book away. But the others are like, for example, blessed are the dads who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness.
Yeah.
And it's something I never would have thought of. And I highly recommend folks go out and grab a copy of Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. If nothing else, to relate that Sermon on the Mount to your actual practical life as a father. Dr. Greg Popcheck, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
And will you give the website one more, the counseling website?
You bet. CatholicCounselors.com. CatholicCounselors.com. For the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice and lots of other resources.
Next hour, Father Mike Schmitz will be here with us. We're going to talk about how to maybe attract, draw back, reignite inactive Catholics. If you've got an inactive Catholic in your life, you're going to want to be here for the next hour. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to get in on the line for Father Mike Schmitz. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.